reading from the second book of Samuel. The Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who shall build a house for my name, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, it was not through the law that the promise was made to Abraham and his descendants that he would inherit the world, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. For this reason, it depends on faith, so that it may be a gift, and the promise may be guaranteed to all his descendants. Not to those who only adhere to the law, but to those who follow the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us, of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you father of many nations." He is our God, Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into being what does not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "Thus shall your descendants be." That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. Verbum Domini. On this solemnity of Saint Joseph, the Church encourages all the faithful to honor this great saint, to ask his intercession, and to imitate his virtues. We hear in the gospel today that Saint Joseph was a righteous man. He was just. He was holy. He was docile and obedient to the promptings that God had given him. We see this in Joseph's response to the angel to take Mary as his wife, to later flee into Egypt with Mary and the infant Jesus, and then again later to return to the land of Israel. When it was clear to him what God was asking him to do, he put his own plans aside and he followed God's will. He acted promptly according to God's will. And that's a good resolution for us, to imitate the promptness of Saint Joseph's obedience to God and his holy will. Saint Joseph also tells us today in the gospel that before the angel approached him and appeared to him, he had decided to divorce the Blessed Virgin Mary quietly. Some of the church fathers have said that Saint Joseph originally decided to do this not because he was suspicious of Mary, that she had been unfaithful. Rather, Saint Joseph, in humility, thought himself unworthy to be so closely associated or involved in such a great work of God. He had a holy fear and reverence. And then, therefore, he decided to distance himself, to quietly back away discreetly. It's then that God communicates his plan to Joseph in a dream. and the fear or consideration of his unworthiness that he had experienced, it makes sense in light of how the angel responded to him, how the angel greeted him. The angel did not say, "Do not be angry." He said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." Pope John Paul II, in his encyclical on St. Joseph, which was entitled Guardian of the Redeemer, he commented that even though St. Joseph decided to draw back so as not to interfere in the plan of God, which was coming to pass in Mary, he did obey the explicit command of God. And he took Mary into his house while respecting the fact that she belonged entirely to God. Again, he was willing to set aside his own plans and to obey God's plan when it was made clear to him. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, in one of his sermons, would likewise say of St. Joseph, "Why did he wish to leave her? Listen now no longer to my opinion, but to that of the fathers." Joseph wanted to leave her for the same reason Peter begged the Lord to leave him, when he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And for the same reason the centurion kept him from his house, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." He saw with fear and trembling that she bore the surest signs of the divine presence. And St. Bernard would add, "Are you surprised that Joseph judged himself unworthy of the pregnant virgin's company? After all, have you not heard that St. Elizabeth too could not endure her presence without fear and awe? As she says, 'Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" St. Joseph, as mentioned earlier in the title of Pope John Paul II's encyclical, is also known as the guardian, as the protector. He's the patron of the universal church. During his life, he was entrusted with the care of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of our Lord, and he was given all the graces necessary to do so. He supported them by his daily work as a carpenter, and he protected them. And we see a great example of this, particularly during his flight into Egypt and their return when Herod had sought to destroy the Christ child. St. Joseph was also named, again, protector of the church by Pope Pius IX in 1870. Pope John Paul II would later explain that just as St. Joseph took loving care of Mary and gladly dedicated himself to Jesus Christ's upbringing, he likewise watches over and protects Christ's mystical body, the church, of which the Virgin Mary is the exemplar and model. In addition, we can look to St. Joseph. We see him as a model of prayer, of the interior life. He shows us the importance of silence and the interior life. The only word attributed to St. Joseph in the Holy Gospels is the holy name. In the very first chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, we're told that after the birth of the Lord, St. Joseph called his name Jesus. Right? So that's the only reference that we have. Commenting on the importance of silence in the spiritual life, Pope Benedict XVI said that St. Joseph's silence was steeped in contemplation and was woven of constant prayer, a prayer of blessing of the Lord, of the adoration of his holy will, and of unreserved entrustment to his providence. He would say further, "Let us allow ourselves to be filled with St. Joseph's silence in a world that is often too noisy, that encourages neither recollection nor listening to God's voice. We are in such deep need of it, this interior silence." And further, we can look at the joy that St. Joseph no doubt experienced, particularly in the company of Jesus and Mary, as he had Our Lady as his constant companion, and having lived under the same roof of our Lord as he raised him. We know St. Joseph certainly endured hardships and suffering in his life, and he worked by the sweat of his brow to support the Holy Family, but daily being in the company of and in the presence of Jesus and Mary, that most certainly helped lighten his burden of his work and the sufferings that he endured. And if we think about it, like St. Joseph, we're also under the same roof of our Lord when we come into the chapel, when our Lord's present in the Blessed Sacrament. We pray that we become familiar with the Lord just as St. Joseph did during those years of Christ's upbringing. And on this feast day, we also recall that St. Joseph is a very powerful intercessor. St. Augustine would say that, what could our Lord refuse to St. Joseph, who never refused him anything during his mortal life on earth? And St. Teresa of Avila would later add, I wish I could persuade everyone to be devoted to the glorious St. Joseph, for I have great experience of the blessings which he can obtain from God. I do not remember that I have ever asked anything of him which he has failed to grant. And one of the things that the church encourages us to ask St. Joseph's intercession for is the grace of a happy and a holy death. He is the patron of a happy death, as he would have died certainly in the presence of Jesus and Mary. And we ask his intercession today for protection, that we might be given the grace to protect those who are under our care, that we might grow in interior silence and prayer, and for the grace of a happy and a holy death. And I'll conclude with this prayer to St. Joseph for the grace of a happy death. O glorious St. Joseph, behold, I choose you today for my special patron in life and at the hour of my death. Preserve and increase in me the spirit of prayer and fervor in the service of God. Remove far from me every kind of sin. Obtain for me that my death may not come upon me unaware, but that I may have time to confess my sins sacramentally and to bewail them with a most perfect understanding and a most sincere and perfect contrition, in order that I may breathe forth my soul into the hands of Jesus and Mary. Amen.